listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 9 about whether people know their colors instinctively or to tell if we're warm or cool and what the expression leaning in your season means. A quick note before we begin, for listeners joining us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube, it may be helpful to visit the post on chrysaliscolor.com under the podcast tab. That's where you'll find the map of the seasons in the show notes. So on to the questions. The first one is, do people know their colors instinctively? I've heard about an art teacher long ago who found that his students gravitated towards their own colors in their artwork, you know, the colors they preferred working with. For me, I'm still waiting to meet these students, and I'm not even sure if I'll meet them at all. It's not a recent story. This art teacher lived long ago, early 1920s, I think, and maybe today's world of too many choices, constant exposure to images in media and general restlessness have taken us off our own track. What do you think, Christine?
I think the same as you, Jorunn. Many children, maybe children, prefer paints, I'm not even sure of that, that repeat their own colors. But even there, ask them their favorite color. They don't say sapphire or sky, they say blue, which maybe is a more of a vocabulary issue. Maybe they do have really particular colors in mind.
Well, yeah. And speaking of favorite colors, I think actually if you ask a child, she will answer yellow. Children very often pick yellow as their favorite color. Adults, blue. And if you ask grown-ups, statistically, they will say that their least favorite color is yellow. Interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. What's your favorite color?
I don't know. whatever color I'm wearing at the moment. I don't know. I like a lot of different clothes. Colors in different clothes. I don't really have a favorite.
Do you have a color family that you enjoy?
Well, I do. It's really interesting that you ask that because when I dress in bright colors. I'm a bright winter. But in my interior decoration, in my living room or in my house, I prefer soft, natural colors.
I for me, it would be red. In any season, it's always the reds that seem to interest me the most. I've never found that I or others know our own colors instinctively. If anything, I've been surprised by how much we don't, which has nothing to do with taste or age or culture, just maybe an inclination to wear a lesser or an adjacent version of our true selves. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but we seem to take a step back from ourselves in our presentation. You know, I think it's a way of controlling the exposure, playing it safe, I guess you could say. Wearing our own colors, we kind of step out from behind our screens and we show up here as ourselves. Many clients find it takes a few days to grow into, but once you see what it can do, you can't unsee it. No, nobody goes back. Folks who have a really excellent sense of their own colors, and some do, can still only select maybe 8 or 10 out of 50 or 90 or 1,000 possible choices. So unless they wear those 10 colors exclusively, well, the look is never quite what it could have been. Wearing terrific colors near the face, that helps. But the whole appearance doesn't come together if the other colors are placeholders or uncooperative, right? We talked about this in our Harmony episode 7, I think it was. I am not a believer in being random about color in the lower half because other people don't see us in halves. On the other hand, people seem more instinctive about what color to never wear. But again, now we're talking maybe 4 or 5 people in 10, still very hit and miss with about half their colors. Or there's a variation, like they're great at avoiding less flattering choices in clothing, but they're not so good when it comes to choosing hair color or makeup.
Well, I think all of us can pick some of our colors, but I'm not at all sure if some of us can pick all of our colors without help. And you know what? I think we shouldn't expect it of ourselves. It's just really hard to figure this out on your own. But I do think that most of us have an instinctive feeling for a few of our colors. I do. In my experience, everyone that I've draped, they recognize some colors that they knew from before that they looked good in. But absolutely everyone is blown away by colors that they never knew they would look that great in. So I hear things like, I swore I would never wear pink, but boy, this pink I look great in. Or something like, I always thought I could only wear blue, but wow, this green looks great.
What about men, Yaron? It seems to me that they're as uncertain as women and far less likely to experiment. I mean, the summer man has 12 blue shirts lined up in his closet. Okay, fine, but not really inspired. The soft autumn man dresses in a white shirt, looks like he's been dipped in bleach, and he's so handsome when he's shown soft rust or aloe or blue jean blue. Most men, to me, pick guy work colors, and they look like generic office work guy. But why look acceptable in an ordinary way when you can look interesting or healthy or creative?
Yes, guy work color. That's a funny expression. It reminds me of a true spring man I draped who looks totally present in his true spring colors and completely washed out in the standard guy work colors, like that standard light blue shirt. And he almost cried with relief to be, quote unquote, allowed to be use apple green and tangerine and still looks super professional.
I didn't know my colors. Not one. Well, maybe teal. And I might have had suspicions about kind of medium dark blue purple. On the same track of not expecting yourself to know, don't feel like you should be able to put together great wardrobe combinations. We think we'd know if colors just don't look well together. We figured we could get that right. But I and clients most often look back and think, why did I not see how these look together? What was I missing? Well, nothing. We were normal. We had never seen ourselves in those colors. We'd never been introduced to the perspective of what others see and think when they look at us, and we had never been shown another alternative. Like any skill, some folks have an innate ability, but the limitations of that ability become apparent pretty soon in all kinds of ways, like how many colors they can use or how innovative they can be and still hold the look together. Everybody improves in the company of expertise in our identifying our season colors, sure, but we got to back up another step, I think even more important, the artist who used an in-depth knowledge of the codes behind light and human vision and color and assembled all possible colors into 12 organized cohesive groups or seasons. The artist was the late Catherine Kalish, the founder of the SciArt system. The size of her achievement is enormous, and the fact that it works so well in person after person. This is not about having good taste. Get your color code, your season, from an expert first, and then bring on your personal taste. And I mean, getting dressed is something we do every day, right? Not once a year. So it's really worth it.
Right. So getting a color analysis gives you a starting point. That's your season. And the tool, which is your color fan. And then give yourself time. We divide the world into 12 seasons, but there's millions of people and they're all different. So our own interpretation is so unique. It has to be. Being shown our colors and learning to apply and wear them is opening windows in your mind and adjusting how you see yourself, giving yourself possibilities to reinvent yourself. Folks go home after their analysis and want to clean out their closet like right away. Their mind has been churning over what's got to go for the last hour of the analysis, and they're just itching to get home and do something about it. And your closet is a great place to practice with a palette, but it's a bit too soon to toss out things though. And our suggestion for whatever you take out is to pack it away for 2 to 3 months. No need to make final decisions so early in your journey. You may need one or two or several rounds in the closet before you've zeroed in on your season and you're ready to discard and go on to shop for new items.
You know what I think we are instinctive about is what we as individuals and as a species find beautiful. You can wear hot pink pants and a beautiful camel coat, but most of the people who will find it beautiful are either determined to swim upstream, or they're trying to sell you something you don't own yet. They like you, or they're scared of you. I mean, there's a self-protective thing going on, or they just were not given a choice. Most people would not instinctively pair soft lilac and burnt orange. Those instincts for natural harmonies, I think we have kept those, which is why we come back to them, where we find logic in color. When we go off track, it is the instinct of what goes with us. Maybe we never had it, like we have no instinct to know our blood type because, well, we just don't need it to survive. Well, so where did our color harmony instincts go? Shouldn't we still have them if so they're so embedded? I think they went the same way as whatever instincts we have about food gathering went. Diluted by this artificial world that we inhabit. Our doors and windows, the perceptions that lead us to our choices, get hammered with so much visual and mental scattered, there's no instinct that could survive intact. I mean, it's great to break molds, it's great to reinvent wheels, but if nobody knows what they're looking at, they don't recognize beauty as they know it, well, I think they're rewarding you for innovation, not aesthetic beauty.
Well, which is not a bad thing, really. It's a choice. Some people dress with the intention to be innovative and irreverent. If you had a color analysis, that's such a tricky language, English. Yeah. If you've had a color analysis and see the harmonious ways in which colors can work together, you wouldn't do it. But if you did, it would be with another agenda. Mm-hmm. To break the rules intentionally. So getting back to not cleaning out your closet right away, I know some analysts offer a 3-month follow-up conversation by Skype or telephone or in person, and if she does, grab the chance. I've offered that to my clients, and I've had people coming to the 3-month appointment with bags full of clothing, and we have really interesting discussions based on her real-life wardrobe. I think it's a great opportunity to deepen your understanding of your season. Anyway, shall we move on to the next question?
Mm-hmm. Let's.
Then that is, how can I tell if I have a cool or warm undertone?
Undertone is a word with a lot of meanings, depending on context. An artist might intend one thing, a color client another, a cosmetic salesperson another. I avoid the confusion by avoiding the word altogether, which maybe that's not a great solution, but I'm not even sure what it means to me. Could be this, could be that. That leaves too much room for ambiguity, more room than I would be comfortable with.
I agree. Even though we do say that the purpose of color analysis is to tease out the undertone of the skin, for practical purposes, let's just go with what makes your skin look radiant and healthy and not focus so much on whether it's the undertone or overtone we're talking about.
How about we change the question? Let's make the question, how can I tell if my coloring is warm or cool? Well, that we can answer. And here's the reason why. All your colors have the same warmth setting, whether they're under your skin as the red of blood or in your skin as melanin and carotene, or a combination of both, like the red of blood filtering up through the skin colors. The final colors have the same warmth setting in a cool, warm gradient. I am actually not convinced humans have different colors of blood, which has been suggested.
I just saw a meme about racism that had the caption, "We all bleed the same color," spray painted on a brick wall over a spot that had blood stains on the sidewalk. So I'm kind of inclined to, let's stick with the fact that all blood is the same color.
I think the same way, but I am entirely sure we have different melanin and carotene, because I can see it. Melanin makes for different colors of hair and skin. So all the reds, greens, blues, grays, beiges, whatever colors in one single person have one single warmth setting, or within a pretty narrow range. So let's say we have four possibilities: warm, cool, warm to neutral, and cool to neutral. Or even three: cool, warm, neutral. That's plenty. Too many pins on the map, well, it kind of adds complexity with no practical payoff. Human eyes can only tell so many colors apart. The textile and cosmetic world sure isn't evenly divided. And then we still got darkness and saturation to factor in. Saturation means how intense or how concentrated is the pigment.
Okay, so I'm on board for this. Let's talk more about how exactly we know if our colors are warm or cool or in the middle.
This is how you know: by comparing them to something whose warm, cool setting is known, and knowing what to look for as the person's coloring reacts.
So, can you know it by just looking?
I sure can't. And you'd break a sweat convincing me that anybody could. I sure acknowledge that some folks are good at it, and they can identify a few colors, but most of us have got to measure color against something, against a standard of some sort. All our colors together are found in the skin. Hair and eyes, they're just partial representations. They're hard to test accurately. They offer clues. Professional color analysts know how to use those, and they know how not to use them. But, I mean, really, it's the rare individual who can look at skin and come up with 20 or 60 of the colors that make up that skin. Who do you know who can look at a patch of skin and choose which of 12 or more different yellows live in that skin? Maybe they can. I just want to see the proof. And as the client, well, I'd want to go along for the ride. I'd want to know what they were seeing in my skin. Neutral colors, lightest colors, darkest colors, they're even harder to read. So I'm not convinced you can just look and offer someone a full palette of their colors. But going back to something here, let's not connect yellow with warmth. Looking for surface yellow to gauge warmth is pointless. Every person has yellow. The question is what kind of yellow. Some of the coolest seasons can have lots of apparent surface yellow, but when it's tested, it actually turns out to be a very cool type of yellow.
And this might be why some people come away from the cosmetics counter with a shade of foundation that's completely wrong for them.
Yeah, the color saturation could be high in this person, meaning the color is very intense, very concentrated. So you would see this obvious yellow in the person or the foundation. Like many true winters, one of the coolest seasons, but don't go thinking warm. True summer too, another of the coolest seasons. These people can appear blonde or sandy or golden, but test the color and it's a cool pastel yellow. Soft summer people often can look tanned or smoky. They may see themselves as warmer than they are, they often do, until testing reveals their colors to in fact be on the cool side.
The answer is to test the coloring and find out. 3 hours of color analysis and then get on to the next step.
Indeed. Get on to the next part of your life. Let's go on to our next question, which is, what does it mean to lean warm or cool in our season? Let's start by separating this question from the previous one about cool or warm or cool or warm undertone. It wants to know something else. When this question comes up, the final season is known, so the warmth level has been identified. Say the person has gone through their analysis, they have been found to be a bright winter. All the colors in that season have the same warmth setting, which is cool to neutral, every red, every yellow, every green, and so on. So now this cool, neutral, bright winter client asks if they lean warm or cool in their season, kind of within that cool to neutral range. Are they closer to the cool side or closer to the warm side? Well, to me, they're asking if they're closer to the cool neighbor of true winter or closer to the warm neighbor of bright spring. And you'll understand, you'll get some orientation by looking at the season map that we referred to that Joran mentioned in the introduction. Joran, if a client asked you this about whether they lean cool or warm in their season, would you interpret the question the same way?
I would. It may be somebody where we spent a lot of time deciding between the neighboring seasons. If we stick to the example of the winter seasons, perhaps this is a client who looks really good in the true winter test drapes, but even better in the bright winter test drapes. But then when we're comparing bright winter with the bright spring, then bright spring is definitely clearly not good. It's clearly second best to bright winter. So I would say that she's closer to true winter, but she's still definitely a bright winter. Even the warmest bright winter colors are some of her best, and I would still advise her to stay within her bright winter palette. However, we need clothes, and getting as close to our season colors as possible is better than being way off. It's really just about educated compromise. You know, Christine, why don't you give us some examples? For instance, if a client says that she is leaning towards the warmer end of bright winter.
I'd like to point out first that I have very mixed feelings about this expression of leaning because folks seem to get tangled up in it. They pay too much attention to the idea, and I am a strong believer in wearing one's entire palette in apparel at least. And what can happen is people dress in too narrow a wedge of their season, or they become all involved with neighbor season colors for no reason. Various analysts might attach different interpretations, but for me, leaning means something in the vicinity of, well, which of the immediate neighbors in the season circle was the last or the hardest comparison or contest or choice? The answer might be based on warmth, but it might also be based on color brightness or darkness, depending on who the neighbors are. And I'd emphasize the immediate neighbors part. Nobody crosses the circle.
Just jump in here and stop you. Did you perhaps speak too fast here? Just to clarify for our readers, when you say crosses the circle, tell us what exactly you mean by that. Do you mean say that nobody from bright winter can borrow from light summer colors?
Right. Excellent point. I did speak too fast. So let me explain a little. Our colors, us, belong in one season only. We might be close to or lean into one of the immediate neighbors. We could borrow colors from other groups for the right reasons. I mean, things don't have to be perfect to find clothing that flatters. But to go back, Joran, to your question about an example of a client who wants to know what it means to be at the warmer end of bright winter. I would in the same room with a client where I could show them the boundaries of the concept and kind of minimize the emphasis, I do hear myself use the expression of leaning. So Kate is a bright winter and she is very near bright spring. She has been told, or we've talked about how she might lean into bright spring. Kate might have a lot of yellow and green in her eyes. She maybe has coral tones in her lips instead of a cooler, bluer lip color. Maybe she has naturally blonde hair. She probably looks like a spring, although if you looked at her face without the hair, you might not be so sure of spring. took us a while to decide on which bright season. We went back and forth, bright spring, bright winter. Whereas it was easy to see she's not a true winter. Well, okay, but she's still a bright winter and still wears every colors from that palette. I think of this whole leaning idea, where I apply it is what I would call customizing the season for the client. So I'm asking myself, what kind of light summer is Anne? Are her color tolerances and ceilings exactly the same as the last light summer? Which she might be breathtaking on the cooler side. Maybe she wears the warmest makeup well or not so well. In terms of the person, Anne might have silver hair and blue eyes. The next light summer might have ash brown hair, more yellow in the eyes. And this might influence the way they wear their colors. And most important, does Anne care? In my opinion, Anne should wear every color in the light summer palette. The warmer side still having a very controlled warmth. And it showcases the cool colors. It gives them a reason to look different from each other. But she should try a few lipsticks before deciding, as much for color as other aspects of makeup, you know, the combination of makeup and skin chemistry being unpredictable. A true autumn and a true spring. Well, they're across the circle from each other, but they share something so important about color that they can share certain colors, like coral. Now, the coral color is a little different in both seasons, but it's better for both women than a cool fuchsia would be. Yeah, okay, so on the map, sure enough, true autumn, true spring cross the circle. But maps are concepts, they're not people. And as Joran said, a bright winter could wear colors from the light summer, brighter, darker choices, because these two groups of colors or seasons share so much in their color properties. Certain colors could jump a few seasons a bit randomly. Say a burgundy from dark autumn and soft summer. Those two individual colors, well, maybe it doesn't matter. My criteria being, if it's that hard to figure out what season the garment fits in, either one of them could wear it. But keep the door closed on the other colors. This is just something to do with this one particular shade of burgundy. Let's think about a few practical applications or implications of this color sharing, color leaning idea. The first one that comes to my mind would be in the use of accents. A purse, a nail polish, shoes, small area in size, worn far enough from the face not to create negative effects, still harmonizing enough to wear the rest of the outfit the same way in your usual palette. An example would be a soft summer blue. That could be lovely on a soft autumn, or various greens. I wouldn't switch out the reds, though. Second one might be to pick up look-alike colors in the eyes. A lot of dark winters, if you only looked at their eyes, you might think they're dark autumns. There can be lots of brown and yellow and green in the eyes. The entire person tests as a dark winter, but some of those olives and greens from dark autumn could be great. They pick up versions that are very close to what are in the eyes, and it can make for very interesting outfits. I think where you avoid sharing, if possible, with other seasons is in makeup.
Yeah, I agree about that, but some eyeshadows might span several seasons. That being said, most makeup is best swatched as close as possible to your own season. And unlike clothing, the second best makeup is a very big step back. And there's really no reason to make compromises on makeup, because there's so many makeup choices out there for every season.
Yeah, there really are. There's the lists are available. This is all very easy to solve these days, and has been for a while. Another place to share colors might be to expand choices of neutrals that you would wear in the lower half, pants, skirts. They harmonize enough with your own season to make beautiful outfits. Gray, navy, certain browns can get along quite happily with other groups. Prints is another topic here. Prints that combine colors from your season And the neighbor season that you lean into would be an example of good guided sharing. Prints are very rarely perfect out of the box.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Prints are really tricky. I say go with a squint your eyes and see how the main impression of the print is method, and then decide. If there's an out-of-season color in an otherwise great print that fits your style and personal preference, just don't avoid it unless it really makes you puke.
Yes, we do not want anyone to puke. In our season itself, we are one single group, possibly with similarities with a neighbor or both neighbors. Some people are very season-centered in their reactions to color, which means you know that they're not either of the neighbor seasons. In choosing colors to wear, as you said, Joren, we need clothes, and we want a final look where everything goes with everything and reconnects back to us. Because seasons have similarities, we can wear clothes from other groups without interrupting the final look or harmony.
Yep. So, to summarize, the main takeaway here is we live in a real world, and sometimes we must make compromises when faced with choices in a clothing shop. And second takeaway is, instead of the word leaning, Christine and I prefer thinking about it as adaptation of your season. Each individual is able to express her season as only she can. We had a lot of fun recording this episode, and we hope that you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed talking about these things. So thank you so much for joining us in this episode, and we look forward to your company again in 2 weeks' time. Bye.
Bye-bye.